May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 471. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Hymn 471.
Of God, we read the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 4. The second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia. Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas of Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchment. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he have greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid unto their charge. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. salute Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens and Linus and Claudio and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Gracious, eternal Lord God, may that grace which the Apostle desired for Timothy be with us now, here, this day. And do give us that grace to worship thee aright, with respect, with reverence, with sacred awe, and yet with holy love and joy. And do abundantly hear and answer the prayer of our opening hymn. And may today be a part of that answer of preparation for death. And for thy immediate presence. And Lord, may many this day, if not all, if it is thy will, be able to enter into that last verse and know what it is to be filled with thy love to capacity. May we worship this day at the feet of Jesus in thy company. Grant, Lord, thy presence here this day. Bless the provision of thy house and fill thy poor with bread. Help us, Lord, to worship and adore thy holy name, to crown thee, Lord, of all, to exalt thee and acknowledge thy greatness, thy majesty and power, the abundance of thy works. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy mercies and kindnesses to us. Thy providential care. Our homes, our loved ones, our possessions, our careers, our comforts. Our health and strength. We thank thee, Lord, for the precious blood and holy righteousness of Jesus Christ. Teach us, Lord, our need of it. Make it valuable unto us. Teach us our lost condition. And may we know what it is to be saved by grace. Bless, we pray, this church and people. Bless the ministry of thy word here and the worship of thy name. May thy presence continue to abide here. May thy gospel yet be preached and may success be found in many hearts. May, Lord, there yet be lambs born here into thy flock. And may, Lord, there also be that growth in grace of those who have already been born again of thy Spirit. And could it please thee, Lord, even today to grant there may be both that birth of the lambs and that growth of the lambs already born and of the sheep. And may thy kingdom be increased this day. And bless, Lord, thy people as they gather in the various causes of truth in our land and in other lands. Bless thy servants as they preach thy name this day. May, Lord, it be a day when showers of blessing are sent down from heaven, and when the Sun of Righteousness shines into our hearts. Be of any here who need thee in any special way, bless the deacons of this cause and help them in their office. Bless each member. May they be united in love and union. May they be guided and blessed by thy hand. May they be fed and watered by thy care. May they grow in grace, in knowledge of thee, in fruit, in every grace. Lord, may they grow in numbers too. Bless this congregation and put thy fear in each heart. May each in thy time come to know the Lord, and do add unto this people yet those whom thou hast saved and those whom thou wilt save. Bless thy word as it is preached. Bless, Lord, thy word as it is picked up from outside this house of prayer. And Lord, may it be used and blessed in those hands whom it falls to. Lord, guide where thy word goes. Bless the Sabbath school. And may seed sown early in life bear a copious harvest in time to come. So Lord, we ask for prosperity here. And for prosperity in the churches and in the nations of this world. And Lord, we pray for our nation and the nations of this world at this time. We pray that thou wouldst stem the tide of war. We pray that thou wouldst protect thine elect and thy church. We pray that thou wouldst restrain the men of violence. We pray, Lord, that there may yet be peace brought. Bless thy people caught up in the situation in Ukraine and in Russia. Call by grace those rulers, we pray. And Lord, do protect this nation and other nations from the aggressor. And Lord, may we heed the message of these times, that it will not be long before we are in eternity. Sometimes short of warning, sometimes no warning at all, that it will not be long before time ends, and thou dost return on thy judgment seat, that it will not be long before eternity begins. while we draw this fleeting breath, when our eyes close in death, when we soar through tracts unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, rock of ages cleft for us, let us find ourselves in thee. And grant us, Lord, a token this day that we are indeed on that rock, Christ Jesus. We ask in his name. Amen.
Hymn 173. Jesus, before thy face I fall, my Lord, my life, my hope, my all. For I have nowhere else to flee, no sanctuary, Lord, but thee. Hymn 173.
Thank you.
turn with the Lord's help this morning to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, the fourth chapter and verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And coupled with that, we have in the book of Amos this exhortation: prepare to meet thy God. And we have here in our text one who was prepared as he faced that imminent event. This epistle was the last epistle that he ever wrote. The Apostle Paul was under sentence of death. And very shortly after this epistle was written, he was taken and executed by the emperor. He knew that his time on earth was short. He knew that eternity was very near. Beloved friends, eternity is near for us. We do not know, unlike the apostle, how near. Or how far? But in each and every one of our journeys in life, there is going to come a point when it will end, and eternity will begin. Eternity, that span of time which is unending, which begins a moment after death. If this morning hour you were suddenly faced with death, if you knew this was the last Lord's Day you would ever be favoured to be found in the house of God, and that before next Lord's Day dawned, your departure, to quote our text, had taken place, where would you depart to? The inference here is that he was going to go somewhere. That's what a departure is it not? Leaving somewhere to go somewhere else. Death, when it occurs, will ensure we all depart this life to come face to face with Almighty God upon his throne. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for that hour? It will come. Can't ignore it. Can't pretend it will not happen. It will come one day. It may be many years hence. It may not be so long, but it will come. For I am now ready. What a blessing to be able to say, I am now ready. I am now prepared. Prepare to meet thy God, O Zion. And one of the reasons God exhorts Zion to prepare is to remind us of our need of it. That we be not fatalistic about it. That we be exercised about it. You cannot prepare yourself. You need God the Holy Ghost to prepare you. But are you asking for that preparation work to be done in you and for you now, here in this time? That is why the prophet says those words, to stir up his hearers, that they might ask God to be prepared. To be brought to really pray the words of our opening hymn. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform. For it is all of grace. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now here we have the apostle. And he tells of his good prospect. He tells us of where his departure is going to end. In the crown of righteousness. And in verse 18, his heavenly kingdom. When a true Christian dies, he goes home to glory. He goes home to heaven. He goes home to Christ. When a stranger to Christ dies, he leaves home forever. Because hell cannot be called home. One of those two places is where you and I will go, and which is it to be? Will it be that heavenly kingdom? Will it be to be with Jesus? To enjoy his company? To worship face to face with Christ your Saviour? To experience his love poured upon you and without measure? Our first hymn prayed about being filled with measure, did it not? Till our souls could hold no more of everlasting love. But you know, in eternity, the souls that were redeemed can hold infinitely more of the Lord's love than they ever could here. They will spend an eternity of love, loved of their God, and loving him in return with a pure heart. What does the hymn say? When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art. Love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Who can put into words the love and the happiness that the apostle and all who are given the same grace enjoy the moment after death, when they are for the first time with Jesus? You've seen him, believer, by faith, and he's been precious to you. You have loved those sights. It's been heaven on earth. But how much more precious will he be when you view him not with the eye of faith, but with your natural eye? You've heard his voice here by faith. And you have said, never man spake like this man. You've said it is the voice of your beloved. You've known that voice of power, that voice of authority, that voice of comfort, that voice you've learned to trust, you've learned to love. But what will it be when you hear his voice, not by faith, but with your natural ear in heaven? You will say, the half was not told me of the beauty of Emmanuel. And then what will it be like, not just to see him, but to be made like him? No more a sinner. No more burdened and grieved by a nature which loves to sin. No more worshipping with a divided heart. To have a nature like unto him, completely so. To be able to worship him in the beauty of holiness for the first time, without sin. To be able to love him with all your heart, without sin. To be able to serve him without one sin marring it. What must it be to be there? To hear him say, I have loved thee. You've heard it here by faith. But one day, believer, he will say it to you face to face. Yea, I have loved thee. To know that peace, that rest, that quietness, that safety, that assurance. If there's one thing that stands out, is there not, in this chapter, is that the apostle is at peace. You don't read any fear or terror or reluctance. He is ready and he's longing to go. He's already, it seems, almost beginning to experience that peace Heaven is a land of peace, of rest, of quietness. Nothing disturbs it. There's no war there. There's no disturbance there. There is no trouble there, because there is no Satan and there is no sin and there is no curse there. There they dwell forever under the smile of God and in perfect union with God and each other. And it ever maintains. A place where there is no more sorrow. Where there is no more tears. Where there is no more pain or weariness or bodily limitations. Where they live in the fullness of strength. Where they worship in the beauty of holiness. Where there is no more parting. No more separation. Where they live and where they worship, as near to God and the Lamb as it is possible to be. Where the company is holy, where the conversation is holy, where the thoughts are holy. Everything in that blessed land is holy, pure, spotless, perfect, pleasing to God. And pleasing to the saints in heaven too. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand, where there is no more darkness and distress, where there is no more trial of faith, where there is no more devil to tempt, to dismay, to attack, to annoy, to cause, to bring into doubt your faith and your eternal standing. A place where you, believer, will dwell. In the light of God himself. We read that the Lamb is the light thereof. And there is no need of the sun, because the glory of God is so great that the glory which shines from that holy presence fills heaven completely and perfectly without any need of the sun. Where, believer, you will see the wounds of Jesus. The price of your pardon. The key which unlocked the door into heaven. Where you will understand in a way we cannot understand here. Of just how much you owe to your Redeemer and your Lord. A place where you will be completely satisfied. No more will you know what it is to hunger and to thirst after God, because he will always be with you. No longer will you know what it is to pine for a smile, because his smile will always be there. No longer will you know what it is to wish his company, because his company will always be with you. You will know his communion. As face to face through the rolling ages of eternity, he continually assures you of his love for you, of his affection for you, of his goodwill for you. Place where you'll be continually filled with the glory of Christ himself. Where there is no night, no darkness, no setting of that sun. A place where you will no longer need to pray. Because all that you need will be continually supplied without you needing to ask for it. Prayer is for this life, not for the life to come. And prayer is answered in this life, there is no more need for the saints to pray. With them it's all praise, all thanksgiving, all rejoicing, happy in his perfect love, in the words of the hymn. This was the prospect that the apostle had before him. Is it a prospect you have before you? Or is there the alternative? That place, which is completely the opposite of heaven. That place where there is no comfort, where there is no rest, where there is no joy, where there is no peace, where there will never be any answer to prayer. Where no minister will ever be sent to preach the gospel. Where there is nothing but pain and sorrow, darkness and despair. Terror and dismay. How stands the case this morning with you? You say, well, how do I get to this place where the apostle came? You need the same light to shine into your heart that shined into his heart on the Damascus Road. You need that same call by grace that he knew. And though it will probably almost certainly not be as dramatic as his was, yet it will be just as real. You probably will not have a light shine directly from heaven. You will not hear a voice from heaven speaking audibly. But you know, when you hear that voice speak by faith into your heart, you'll know it's God speaking to you. You need to be taught something of your need of Christ. Every one of those around the throne of God this morning are rejoicing because they have an interest in what Christ did upon earth. And what did he do upon earth? He lived, and then he died for men, for sinners. If you are to be brought to where the apostle was brought, you'll need to know something of what it is to be a sinner in God's sight. To realize that you have done wrong. You have fallen short. You have disobeyed. You have disappointed. You have angered Almighty God. And to be brought to realize that not all that you can do can make up for what you have done. You have to be brought to that point, you're lost. Ruined and undone, that you cannot save yourselves. None who are in heaven this morning would say that they'd save themselves. None of them. They would be in full agreement with the hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. My beauty are my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds in these arrayed with joy shall I lift up my head. Those in our text, like the apostle, are brought to need Christ. And then are brought to have that need supplied. They're brought to see that Christ, in his work upon earth, has done all they could ever need. Not all our obedience, no matter how well-intentioned or sincere it may be, can save us. And if you are found in our text, that will not offend you. It will offend your natural man. But if you're touched by grace, it will not offend you. You'll be brought to see that in the life Christ has lived, you have all the obedience you need. Because that obedience was without sin. It was without fault. It was without stain. It was without blot. Perfect. It could not be better. It could not be improved. It could not be excelled. And then to be brought to the cross of Calvary. And to realize why Christ went there. He went there because he loved his people. He went there because his people needed him to go there. And there, the sinless, innocent, holy Lamb of God stood in the place of his people, those who are found in our text, ready to depart. and he allowed himself to be blamed for their sin. And he was punished by his Holy Father as if he had committed those sins himself. Punished for these believers in our text. The hymn writer said, "Oh, to see my name written in those wounds. For through thy suffering I am free." Have you ever seen your name by faith written in those wounds? In prophecy he says, "These are the wounds I received in the house of my friends." And who can understand the cost to the Son of God to stand there and take that blame for those sins? It cost him his life. It cost him everything. He had to go through darkness beyond imagination. He had to drink a cup of sorrow, which we can never measure. He had to endure pain in his body and in his soul that we cannot enter into. That is the cost of being made ready to depart. That is how we find peace with heaven. That is how we are prepared for death. Not in what we have done, but in what Christ has done and been brought by the teaching of God himself. To trust in what Christ has done. That is what a real Christian is. That is what a believer is. Someone who trusts that what Christ has done in the work of redemption is for them. "For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." The prospect was a good one for the apostle. Is it a good one for you? Well, some of you it is. And rejoice this morning in your prospect. "Bold shall I stand in that great day. For who ought to my charge shall lay through Jesus' blood absolved I am from sin's tremendous curse and shame." And to be prepared for the event of our text is to be brought in simple faith to trust Christ, to rest in him alone for salvation. All who are brought to trust there will not be disappointed. None will trust in vain. And once we are brought there by faith, we are safe. And we are safe forever. No matter what storms of life may come, no matter how hard the fight of verse 7 may become, the apostle had a hard fight in his life, didn't he? He endured things that probably we never will have to. But he overcame at the last. How did he overcome? Because he didn't fight alone. God, in the person of his Holy Spirit, fought with him and on his side. He was brought to know the reality of what he wrote to one of the churches. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew what it was to stand forgiven at the cross of Christ. Some of you have known that same experience. Some of you are longing for it. Keep on longing, keep on looking, keep on asking, keep on seeking. You will not seek in vain. You will not be sent empty away. You will not be disappointed. The time of love will come, when you will clearly see not only that Christ shed his blood, but you will say, "For me." And when you can say, "For me," then like the apostle, you'll be able to look death in the face and be at peace. You'll be able to look at it and say, as he said in another epistle, to die is gain. But he could say that because he could say, first, for me to live is Christ. And dying will not be gain unless you first know what it is to, for your life to be Christ's. In other words, Christ was the centre of his life. Christ was the centre of his affections. Christ was his treasure. Christ was where he placed his hope for eternity. And because of that, he was able to say that death for him was gain. And may we be brought there. Prepare to meet thy God. Let us go from the house of God this morning with this prayer in our hearts. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. If you've never prayed before, begin that prayer today. And keep on praying it until it's answered. Because one day you will stand before his face. One day you will have to give an account of how you've lived. One day you will be judged by Almighty God. May we be made ready for that hour, for that day, for that appointment. And believer, and trembling sinner, when you come there, you will find, if not written literally, but you'll know the reality of it as you come to that judgment seat. the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that means it's as if those sins never existed in the first place. They're gone forever, never to be resurrected. If the Lord Jesus Christ was called to account for your sin, a holy, just, righteous God will not also call you to account in the day of judgment. But if he was not called to account, then a holy, just, and pure God must and will call you to account. And that is an account we can never pay. It is a debt that we can never discharge. May we be brought then by faith to flee to Christ, that we may know that debt paid for us. Then it will be well. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Sunday school will be at Bethany today. And Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach tomorrow at our anniversary services. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Needy Cases Fund. And the deacons propose to use these funds for help for Ukrainian Christians. I sent a notice to say that the evening service would be at 6:15, as some notices had gone out saying 6:15. But I now find that there was only one notice that said 6:15. All the others say 6:00. So, with your agreement, we would like to have the evening service at 6:00 tomorrow evening, as Mr. Buss has a long journey home. And God willing, next Lord's Day, Mr. Stephen Hyde will preach also hopes to address the Sunday school. And God willing, there will be a church meeting on Monday, 9th of May. And as mentioned in our notices from today, we won't operate the one-way system out of the chapel. And I'm sorry for my mistakes, friends. Our closing hymn is number 1060. Weary of wandering from the Lord, and now made willing to return, I hear and bow me to the rod, for now not without hope I mourn. There is an advocate above, a friend before the throne of love. Hymn 1060.
Lord, in thy kindness and compassion, do prepare each and every one of us for that day when we must depart and stand face to face before thee. May we be found sheltering in the ruins of Jesus, safe in his covenant love. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us now and forever. Amen.